Hello from Johannesburg. This is Douglas Jacoby, and I'm going to be giving a podcast on global persecution. By the way, next week's podcast will also be from Johannesburg. I'll be on a layover between Malawi and Durban. Thank you for remembering me as I travel. I really appreciate your prayers. Did you know that this world is less and less friendly to Christianity? Less and less friendly to freedom of religion, even freedom of speech. And I would like to share a little bit about what this means, not just to list the countries, though we will talk about the countries where freedom is severely restricted. I want us to understand how important this is, that the persecution Christians experience is biblical in that it's foretold in the Bible and it's standard Christian experience, and that many people that you may be connected with, directly or indirectly, face severe opposition. And we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, should remember them in prayer. I mean, for example, just recently in Pakistan, a student in a hall of residence, a dormitory, who spoke out for free speech, was lynched, was killed by his fellow students. There have been multiple warnings in the nation of Bangladesh, journalists hacked to death, bloggers who disagree with the direction that the country's going, which is actually kind of moving towards radical Islam. Indonesia is also swinging to the radical. In Qatar, in the Gulf area, the penalty for evangelism is 10 years in prison. In Brunei, a small country next to Malaysia and Singapore, if you even identify yourself as a Christian, that can be considered proselytizing, even if you don't make an invitation. And that's punishable by corporal punishment or 30 years of imprisonment or maybe even death. Countries like Jordan used to be friendly to Christians, but now converts face interrogation from the police. And the Maldives, an Indian Ocean island, a blogger was murdered. And that was leading a campaign. He was trying to locate a missing journalist. And because he was looking, kind of standing up for the other guy's rights, he became suspect. And of course, there's a great fear that Islamic terrorism in our world will lead to increased surveillance. And surveillance on the part of a government, presumably, will erode freedom of expression and freedom of religion. I think that's a very understandable fear. We need to understand that our world is changing. In Turkey, for example, a country I go to somewhat frequently, the president has changed the constitution so that his powers are nearly limitless. At the same time, he's trying to push the nation to undo the reforms of Ataturk back in the 1920s and to get back more towards an Islamic state. In Russia, a couple of years ago, the Jehovah's Witnesses were outlawed. And we should care about that, even if you're not a Jehovah's Witness. They've been placed in the same category, that is, extremist groups, as the neo-Nazis. Well, if they can put the Jehovah's Witnesses in the category with neo-Nazis, I promise you they can put your church in the same category too. In Sri Lanka, there have been mobs, often led by Buddhist monks, to disrupt church services. In Vietnam, the laws have really been tightening up since November 2016. It's a communist, atheist nation, though many people still retain some form of Buddhism or Christianity. But the nation is moving in a very concerning direction. I was reading about a fellow in the United States who gave a Bible to an inmate in the prison where he was. And that Bible was confiscated as contraband. I don't know if they considered it hate speech or incendiary, but the Bible was considered contraband. I would have thought it would have been a razor blade or maybe a bottle of whiskey or something, or drugs, but a Bible is contraband. You see, all over our world, there's opposition. I don't want us to think that it's only coming from Muslims. In fact, in Burma, Myanmar, the Buddhists persecute the Muslims. Terrorism has been something committed by members of all religions. In India, for example, the Hindus, particularly the fascist party, the BJP, has a long record of killing Christians, including burning them to death. Really, every religion persecutes because humans persecute humans, and religion makes a jolly good excuse for whatever it is. So we see a change in our world. And it's not just the Islamic world, but we see restrictive governments, erosion of freedoms, and you can say it's your right to have a freedom, but that's not the way most of the world sees it. In the book of Acts, chapter 14, Luke tells us, from Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. Let me just give some context. Attalia, on the southern coast of what is modern Turkey, a beautiful town, by the way, Paul returns to Antioch, which is where the first missionary journey had originated. And it says that they've been committed to the grace of God for the work they now completed. So this is the completion. This is the end of that first missionary journey. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed a long time with the disciples. Now, I want to talk about that door of faith in just a moment. But you know, a few verses earlier, Paul was warning Christians that we have to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, to ultimately make it. They're going to be tough things. You say, oh, but this is great. There's an open door of faith. Well, actually, an open door doesn't mean that there's no opposition. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 16, was writing from Ephesus back to the Corinthians in Greece, and he said, "For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me." Now, we would like to end the passage right there, but I've got to finish reading it. He says, "And there are many who oppose me." So just the fact that there's opposition does not signal that it's not the Lord's will, that a door is closed. There can be effective work even in places where there's tremendous opposition. And I hear stories frequently of people coming to faith in Christ in impossible circumstances. People being baptized who are surrounded by terrorists or who themselves have actually been part of roving gangs of thugs. People become Christians in almost any situation, in prison. Hey, we think of North Korea, where up to half of the those imprisoned in their gulag are there because they profess some form of faith in Christ. I think the estimate is about 150,000 at the minimum. So some 75,000 people in prison simply because they say that they believe in Christ. And in an intolerant and atheistic state like North Korea, that cannot be tolerated. Does this concern you? Well, I'm not trying to incite political action. I'm trying to incite care, concern, empathy, prayer. And if you have an opportunity to connect with believers in other countries, I really hope that we'll do that. The truth is, there are open doors nearly everywhere on our planet. Yet there are also many nations with restricted religious freedom. And I would like to mention some of those. There are 26, for example, in Africa. 26 nations with restricted freedom. Now, some of these, in the notes, you'll see an asterisk after some of the countries where they actually have a fairly good record on religious freedom. They're just parts where it's not good, but others are universally poor. In Africa, here's the list. Algeria, Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Chad, the Comoros, Djibouti, Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Ghana, Guinea, the Ivory Coast, Kenya, Liberia, Libya, Malawi, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Niger, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Somalia, the Sudan, Tanzania, as they say, Tunisia, and Uganda. That's a lot of countries. In Asia, 35 nations restrict freedom. Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Bhutan, Brunei, Burma, China, India, Indonesia, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Jordan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Laos, Lebanon, the Maldives, Nepal, North Korea, Oman, Pakistan, the Philippines, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Sri Lanka, Syria, Tajikistan, Turkey, Turkmenistan, United Arab Emirates, Uzbekistan, and Yemen. In Europe, in fact, there's Belarus, which is a former Soviet Socialist Republic, and Russia. In Latin America, Mexico, Colombia, Cuba. That's 66 countries. Now, if you're listening to this a few years after I recorded it, the number may be higher, though hopefully it will be lower. But this is our world, because I've had the opportunity to visit so many of these countries. I can attest to you that it's real. And believers have to be careful. Some live in fear. Many church meetings, church services have to be held secretly. They have to be held underground. And when people slip up, they're indiscreet, or they're a bit too evangelistic, that can lead to imprisonment. That can lead to arrests, deportation, beatings, being sent for re-education to labor camps, concentration camps. This is real. 66 nations of the world. The world has almost 200, so that's a lot. Now, I read that list. That's 35% of all nations, but it covers the majority of the world's population. With you'd say, oh, that's only 66 out of 195 nations. So overall, we're doing pretty well. Well, actually, this includes a lot of big nations. I mean, places with huge huge populations in the hundreds of millions, and many in that 50 to 100 million range. So that's something I think you and I need to pray for. Let's wrap it up here. Let me just share some final thoughts. Well, first, let's have a realistic view of what the situation is on our planet. And you can actually keep up with this fairly easily by reading the news or listening to the news or watching it online. You might subscribe to the weekly emails from Voice of the Martyrs, which is persecution.com, or just have as much as possible connection with people around the world through email or visit, telephone. Next, we should not be taken in by those who think that all religions are somehow equal. They pretend that, you know, all religions are equally true, which is the same as to say they're equally false or equally irrelevant, and that all religions are good and encourage tolerance. That's simply not true. It's not the way it is. Most of the world's population does not enjoy freedom of religion, and even freedom of speech, which you may take for granted, depending on what country you live in. Freedom of speech is not a right. It's not something that's freely offered in many nations of the world. So our response should be one of, first, gratitude. Second, prayer. And third, urgency for the lost. I hope this brief report on global persecution has been helpful to you. Thanks for listening.